invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. And I invite you to turn your attention inward. And I invite you to give your heart, to open your heart. I invite you to remember that you have a heart. Maybe it could be that you put your hand on your chest where your heart is to feel its beating, or put your hand on your wrist and feel your pulse. And may the beating of your heart draw you closer in time with the beating of the heartbeat of God.
Prayers for Margaret Rogers, who had her fifth eye surgery on Friday, that starts healing finally. And prayers for all the deer hunters who saved.
I have a great joy. My friends Cindy and Ralph Souden, they are members of Northeast United Methodist Church, where I used to serve. They're visiting here today. And I was so happy they're here. And that my family can continue to grow and expand as I introduce my family to my family.
Prayers and joy for Anita Johnson, who moved this week into Pines. So she's in her new home. And I'm sure she's going to miss her huge old home.
Prayers for Anita Johnson. Anita Johnson, right?
Yep.
And moving into a new home. And prayers, I know that Deb said that prayers for folks who are affected by the wildfires in California. I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer. There are words that are printed in our bulletin. And you might notice that there, we begin out with the bold, and that's all of us. And then there are sentences and phrases that are in different fonts. That indicates that different people read these prayer requests or these intercessions. So as you feel guided by the Spirit, I invite you to share aloud the prayer intercessions that are written in our bulletin. You can change the words if they don't make sense to you, if you don't like them. And also, it's okay if more than one person feels guided by the Spirit to share and to read these prayers aloud. It's good for us to hear more than one voice, right? So, yes. So I invite us to continue in a spirit of prayer, and we'll all share together, saying, "Nurturing God, you lovingly embrace all people and all creation, unified in the love of Jesus." I don't know if you remember that a little thing And maybe it might have been that there were some people who won the election and other people who didn't. And even so, we are all one. For there is one Lord, there is one baptism, one faith, and one Spirit. And that makes us all one. It does not mean that we agree all of the time. It does not mean that we all think alike. Do we all think alike? Huh. That's a big surprise to me. It's not a big surprise at all. We don't think alike. And we can love alike. That comes from John Wesley. John Wesley said, if we cannot think alike, let us then love alike. And that means that we are going to pass the peace. It means that sometimes we pass the peace even if we don't feel like it. And sometimes it means that we pass the peace to people that we don't like, or maybe people with whom we disagree. And therefore, as God's choice, holy and beloved, put on compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Be tolerant with each other, and if someone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As God forgave you, so also forgive each other. And over all of these things, put love, which is the perfect bond of unity. The peace of Christ control your hearts, a peace into which you are called in one body. And be thankful, people. That's our call. I invite you to pass the peace of Christ.
Something. To do lots of stuff.
You like to do lots of stuff. We do. I do too. You like to eat? You, each one of you has wonderful gifts that you can give, that you can offer, and we are so excited to get to know your wonderful gifts. At this time of the year, we give great thanks to God that you are here and that you can share your gifting of reading and drawing and eating with friends. And all of the wonderful things that you like to do, you share with us your gift when you share your life with us. And we are so, so thankful. I would love if you shared your gifts with us freely. And that means I hope that you are yourself when you are here. And that you feel free and good to be yourself. And I hope that's the same for all of us. You are all a great gift. You see all those people out there? They like to do some of the same things that you like to do. Do any of you like to eat with friends? Yep. Do you like to read? Do you like to draw and color? Yep. I bet you can find a good friend out there who likes the same things that you like to do. And you can share your gifts together. Thank you so much for being here and sharing your gifts with each other, with God. Will you pray with me? Thank you, God, for the great gift of this life and the great gift of each person here. Thank you for your love and your care. Amen. Amen. And I think, Anita has a magnificent announcement.
Yes.
You'll let you go. How do you like the snow?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you like to play in the snow? It's not always so fun driving in the snow, but playing in the snow. I agree. Okay. Do you guys remember, a few weeks ago, we handed out those little orange boxes for UNICEF, remember that? Okay. And a couple weeks ago, we collected them, didn't we? And we're going to find out today how much money we got for that on that collection. And like, if you didn't already see it in the bulletin or on the e-news, but we want to tell you today, and we are so thankful that you were able to share with others so some children in the world can have a little bit better life because of what you gave to us. Let's see, how much do you think we got in the offering? Got an idea? Well, I wish. Not quite that much. Caitlin, do you have an idea of how much we got? That's awesome, isn't it? $384 from just that one little collection of coins and a few bills. That is an awesome thing that you are willing to share with children who need it. Thank you so very much. You are just great. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Today's scripture reading is Mark 12, verses 38 through 44. Warning against the teachers of the law. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and have the most important seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." The widow's offering. Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all of the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on."
A scripture passage like this almost preaches itself. Because I think, I guess you probably like, I'll just sit down now. But I'm going to preach a sermon anyway. This scripture passage preaches itself because the people lifted up in this story are ones that are readily identifiable. I'm guessing that you probably know or can recall to mind the righteous, religious folks, folks, and the widow. Maybe you can even take a moment and remember your encounter with people like this in your life, if you've met them. I'm guessing that you know these people in this story. I'm guessing that you know religious, I don't know how to say this in adults. I don't know the adult word for what I want to say. And I want to say it, but I can't because it's like a swear word. And a couple weeks ago, I said crap in kids' time, and one of the kids called me out. And I was so embarrassed, but also somewhat relieved because it wasn't the worst swear word that I've ever said. And it's been 90 days since I've been here, and that's pretty good, I think, for not swearing a little bit, I think. Even so, my mom hates it when I swear. You weren't brought up like that, she says. You were brought up better than that. That's the one that drives me crazy. And she's right. Although I've heard a few choice words let loose from her when she gets going. Even so, I'm sensitive about swearing in front of my mother or people who look like my mother. Though I can't understand it sometimes why the same people who seem to get the most bunched up about a few swear words are seemingly just fine with a world where generational poverty, abuse, and addiction, the things that I think are absolutely obscene, are okay as a reality. And I know in my heart of hearts that Jesus called out bullshit when he saw it. Where in the world was I with that? Anyway, perhaps we all know jackanapes who use religion to gain power and privilege, who use Jesus to bind up people rather than to bind us together in cords of love. And I could go on for hours about this. It doesn't take much for me to get riled up these days. Jesus very clearly calls out hypocrisy and systems of economic oppression, like redlining and all of the ploys we love to get together, to assemble, to build and maintain power in the hands of a few. And just as clearly, just as consistently, Jesus turns his focus to the victim survivors of oppression. Jesus focuses oppression and then turns our attention to it, to a single woman, a woman widow, alone, poor. He turns our focus to her to wake us up, to remind us to the fact that God cares about her. God cares about this woman and her struggles, her life, and God sees this woman, knows her, and loves her. And God will not put up with abuse, especially at the hands of religion. God sees her and cares about her, and I wonder if anybody else did. If even the disciples following Jesus noticed her before Jesus pointed her out to them. And all of this leads me to say that God sees and cares about your struggles too. God knows our challenges and cares about where we are hard-pressed to make ends meet. This passage reveals perhaps more about God and God's motivation and intention in this world than it does about either of these characters, the bad guy or the good woman. And this story leads us even more, reminding us that God is inviting us to look around and to see each other, to see the people who are gathered around you, the people in our community. God wants us to really see one another and to acknowledge the pain of poverty, the despair of not being able to find work, the anguish of only being able to put in or not being able to put in any money at all, not having any money. The anguish of those who have been exploited so that people like us can benefit. And God is inviting us to see the people around us and to care about their lives. And then in turn to advocate for a world that recognizes everyone and their story. To create a community where no one is left behind. God cares, and God invites us to care about people. God believes, and I believe, that every single person can make a difference. I believe that. I believe that we all have something to contribute to build the kingdom of God. We all have two pennies to offer, to put into the plate. We all have work to do to bring forth peace on earth. And maybe now more than ever, your work and your care matters. May it be so for us today.
I invite you to stand at your table. I'm going to sing our next hymn, number 399, Take My Life.
Take my life.
realization, a world that is more just, a world that is free, and a world where no one is left behind. I believe that the work of justice begins with us, and we can begin the process of letting go, of working for justice and peace in our hands, in our hearts, and in this space today. I invite us to continue in the spirit of prayer. I invite us to give and receive our morning offering.
Giving statements through October 31st are in the back, kind of in the Matheson room table. So if you want to grab those and just verify that you don't have any discrepancies with what I have, and let me know before the end of the year so we make sure the statements are right.
print in the bulletin. The page turners will meet at 10 o'clock at Judy Mullins. And in one place it says 9, and another place it says 10. But it is 10. And we are seeing a movie this time. It's based on a book by, I can't remember the authors, Annie Barrows and Margaret Schaefer, I believe, called it Guernsey and Literary Pie Society, Potato Peel Pie Society. It's a wonderful story. So I invite anybody who can make it on Wednesday at 10 o'clock at Judy Mullins.
Yes, just want to encourage people to take part in the Sam Lack musical presentations that are free and right here in the sanctuary on Thursdays. He is, I had no experience with him before. Yes, I think you have. He's a professional musician, very welcoming. Music is his heart and soul. And so even people who might have children at home, it's not explicitly for children, but he's a very flexible guy. And so there were about half a dozen people there, but I can guarantee you would enjoy it. So 1 o'clock on Thursday.
I invite us to rise if you are able, in body or in spirit. We join in singing our closing hymn, What Gift Can We Bring? May we send people into blessing and not danger. May we too have the courage to serve, to risk, to give our lives and love for the sake of our homeland, which is the kingdom of God, the whole human family, in the spirit of peace. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve God.
It's about